but,
you know. Well, are you going to make that, are you asking to amend the motions to delete that?
Yeah, I don't think that that's appropriate at this juncture.
Point of order.
Okay, go ahead, Dr. Paul.
Yeah, I don't have the full language of what we just proposed here, so why don't I read that so that we can complete that?
Okay.
A number of people started speaking and I missed it. I have a motion to postpone the question to the next meeting. The chair will send the draft language to the unit managers and the executive director requesting dissemination to the unions and...
That the administrative council discuss the issue as a body as well.
Mary Berg, can I...
And we request feedback if desired.
I guess I put the motion out. I have a problem with the GM having to do that. In our case, I'm not sure that would ever happen. I don't have a problem. I think it's for informational purposes only, so I don't have any problem with the union being included. I think, on that basis, this is what the board is doing. And just, you know, they just want to be informed. But I would rather have some other mechanism than to the GMs asking them to disseminate it, because, as I say, in our case, I'm not sure that would happen.
Okay, well, are you a union member, Mary?
Well, I'm not a paid staff. I'm an unpaid staff organization.
Can you send it? Bob is a union member, I believe. I can send it to our union shop stewards here in L.A.
And
if you will send it to the shop stewards in...
I could do that. Okay, I can do that. I have all their addresses.
Okay, so the motion then would be, Paul, that members of the committee have a... Bob, will you take that on in New York?
Yes, I will.
Okay, so Lederer, Berg, and Adelson will forward the draft language to the unions at their respective stations.
Okay.
The union shop stewards.
Point of information?
Go ahead.
Does that cover all the unions?
I believe so. There's not a union at D.C. or... is there a union in the Pacific Archive? I don't think so.
Okay, just checking.
DC's paid staff does not have a union?
No, neither does T. There's three unions in the network.
How about the unpaid staff orgs? BAI and KPFA have unpaid staff organizations. Shall Bob and I forward it to them?
Please do.
Okay.
Okay. So, Paul, can you read the motion?
Okay, I'm putting it together here. Okay, what I have is, the motion is to postpone the question to the next meeting. The chair will send the draft language to the unit managers and the executive director. Lederer, Berg, and Adelson will forward the language to the unions at their respective stations, and that the administrative council will discuss the issue as a body as well, and we request feedback if desired.
Right. And then the last thing should be Adelson is authorized to correct grammatical errors and to include notes summarizing points made in the discussion.
Dave, but weren't we going to include the dissemination to the LSCs?
Yes. Well, I would like to ask that each member of this committee send it to their respective LSB.
Yeah,
is that all right?
That's okay. What Ted had said, is that we should formally include that in this.
Right.
Okay, let's include it in this motion then.
Right.
That let's make people specifically responsible. I'll send it to the KPFK LSB. Who will send it to KPFA LSB? Mary?
I will.
Okay. Ted, will you do Houston?
I mean the secretary.
Yes.
Okay.
Who's... Adelson is KPFA. Who's KPFK?
KPFK is Adelson.
Adelson, all right. Okay.
Wise Guy will do Houston. Paul, will you do New York?
Yeah.
How come? Are you still on?
How come?
I'll email Rob. I don't know if Hakim's still on. I'll email Rob and ask him to send it to their LSB.
Dave, one tiny thing, Bob.
Yes.
Can we just add the words, in terms of the Administrative Council, it sounded like it was a command. I know that wasn't the intent. So just say, and request that the Administrative Council,
right,
whatever the language was,
okay,
take it up.
Why don't we say that the committee members suggested it would be useful for the Administrative Council to discuss it as a body?
The request is sufficient, I think.
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Are you going to send this language out now, R. Paul, or somebody?
Well, right now, I'll need for all of us to agree on what the language is, because
mm-hmm,
we've added again. I'll read it. To postpone the question to the next meeting, the chair will send the draft language to unit managers and the executive director. Lederer, Berg, and Adelson will forward language to the unions at their respective stations. And we request that the Administrative Council, take out Will. We request that the Administrative Council discuss the issue as a body as well, and we request feedback if desired. Adelson is authorized to correct grammatical errors and include notes. Adelson will send the draft, the draft motion.
Mm-hmm.
Send the draft motion to the KPFK LSB, Weisgold to Houston, Martin to New York, Robinson to WPFW. We're leaving somebody out here.
Mary Berg to KPFA.
Okay, Berg, KPFA.
And who's do? Oh, you're doing this. There was a phrase. Will the three of us, or whoever, actually Bob and myself, will also, in addition to the shop stewards, will send to the unpaid staff organization people.
Well,
it says
the relevant people.
Union.
We didn't say unpaid staff. We don't call ours a union. It's not a union. It's
what?
An unpaid staff organization.
Oh, well, sanity. Okay.
So just unpaid staff organization.
Right, but ours is a union.
Yeah. well.
Tell that to the NLRB.
Folks, we're real tight on time, so we need to wrap this up.
Okay.
Okay, I have. Okay. Postpone the question of the next meeting. The chair will send the draft language to the unit managers and the executive director. Lederer, Berg, and Adelson will forward the language to the unions and unpaid staff organizations at their respective stations. And we request that the Administrative Council discuss the issue as a body as well, and we request feedback if desired. Adelson is authorized to correct grammatical errors and include notes. Adelson will send the draft motion to KPFK, to the KPFK LSB, Weisgold to Houston, Martin to New York, Robinson to WPFW, and Berg to KPFA.
Okay. Is there any objection to the motion? Okay. Hearing none, it's adopted. How far over time did we go, Sandra?
It is now 3:27 Houston time, so we went over about 17 minutes.
Okay, is there any objection to adjusting the times on the agenda so that they start effective at this moment?
No. Point of information.
What? That's fine with me.
What time would that make us adjourn?
Hang on a second here.
Order. We didn't set a time for adjournment. We didn't set an actual time.
No, I understand, but given that we set times for each item, when we go over, if somebody were to call for orders of the day or whatnot, we would have to jump to where the time would be relative to our start time.
No, we did not. We didn't do it that way. We assigned each thing a set number of minutes.
Okay, so you would argue that we don't need to vote to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'll sustain that. Okay, in that case, unless there's an appeal, then we'll go on.
Point of information, I'm sorry, I'm not at a computer. Can you just read the remaining agenda with the minutes for each time, for each item?
Can you do that, Paul?
Yeah. Okay. Agenda, where did we just do? We just did contracts policy. Next is code of conduct. After that, new business, Freeland suspension, question re Susan Young's eligibility for LSB membership, governance committee membership, Houston delegation, Paul DiRienzo's eligibility to vote as a delegate.
What happened to the bylaws convention working group? We assigned that 5 minutes under old business.
Right.
Okay, right. Okay, that's after code of conduct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think Bob wanted the times on those things. Sandra, you have the times. Can you read
them? We've got the times. The contracts policy was 30 minutes, and we've now spent 55. Code of conduct was 15 minutes. Bylaws convention was 5 minutes. New business, freelance suspension, 30 minutes. Susan Young's eligibility for the LSB membership, 30 minutes. Governments committee membership, Houston delegation, 5 minutes. And the DiRienzo eligibility was 15 minutes.
So we've got
at least another hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes if we stick to the time.
I have a proposed agenda change. I'm sorry, but I have another meeting to go to, and I have a long trip to take before I get to where I'm making that call. So I would like to be present when the Paul DiRienzo item is discussed as it relates to.
Can we move that to the beginning of new business?
I prefer that.
Is there any objection to moving that item to the beginning of new business?
I'm concerned that we'll end up giving it short shrift if we just try to shoehorn it like that.
Well, I mean, people can make motions to extend the time and the rest. It's been given 15 minutes. We're asking that it be at the beginning. It may, as far as I'm concerned, it could easily eat up an hour knowing how these things go, but the question is whether it will be dealt with before the other issues. And if there's an objection, we'll have a vote. Bob's made a motion to amend the agenda to move it to the beginning of new business.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an objection? Okay, hearing none, we'll do that, Bob. Is that acceptable?
Thank you.
Okay. Next item is the
Code of Conduct
Working Group report. And, Bob, I think you're the convener of that. Is that true?
No.
Oh, it was Mary.
Right. Yeah, I'm the convener of that. And we have actually, Grace and I were trying to put something together. We actually have not been able to put anything together, and we weren't able to get together. So she had time just now, but I did not this last week. So, Grace, but you had put something together that we could. What did you want to put that out?
Out to the rest of the group,
mm-hmm.
Like now.
Well, I just was asking if you wanted to.
Yeah, we could. We could. Will it be discussed now or?
We have 15 minutes to deal with. Is it 15 or 30?
15 on this one.
15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And meanwhile,
let's spend the time we've got to try and see if we can advance this.
But meanwhile, I would like to report as part of that our GM has put out a code of conduct, which he didn't know that anything else was going on, and I don't know that he looked at. I don't know what all he looked at, but this just came out, so I suppose we might want to look at that too and see if it's, you know, in our ballpark or not.
And just note that there's a difference between a code of conduct that a manager has for mm-hmm. staff and a code of conduct for members of governance.
Right, but if there's a conflict, they can't conflict with each other, right?
Right. Okay, Grace, did you want to talk about what you've been working on?
If I can just read it, it'll just take, I think, about 2 minutes to read it.
Please do.
Okay. Code of conduct. A code of conduct should be stringent enough to allow for maximum efficiency in conducting board activities, but not.
Hold on, Grace. Can you amplify yourself some way?
Can I amplify? Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. A code of conduct should be stringent enough to allow for maximum efficiency in conducting board activities, but not so strict that the enforcement itself becomes an impediment to our work. Simple guidelines which are agreed upon can save time and effort when difficult situations arise. These might include, one, allowing an individual to speak a maximum of 2 times on any given motion or agenda item. Two, no individual may speak a second time until all who wish to have spoken once. Three, a time limitation should be placed on how long a person can speak at any one time. This can be agreed upon at the beginning of a meeting, at the beginning of an agenda item, etc., and can be adjusted should the need arise. Four, A person who has the floor should be allowed to speak without verbal or nonverbal distractions until his or her time is up. 5. A timekeeper should be designated at the start of every meeting if there is no person assigned to that task on a regular basis. The timekeeper should alert the speaker at agreed-upon intervals. 6. If anyone, board member, staff member, or members of the audience create distractions or interruptions, verbal or nonverbal, the chair should give him or her a warning. If the behavior continues, the person shall be asked to leave the meeting. 7. In accordance with Robert's Rules of Order, speculation about the intentions and or motivations of the speaker are forbidden. Infractions shall be dealt with as in point 6 above. 8. Appeals about decisions of the chair shall be handled in the following manner. A. A person who makes an appeal should state it clearly and briefly. The time spent doing this should not exceed the time allotted earlier in the meeting to speakers on any given topic. B. The chair may take an equal amount of time to respond. C. There shall be no debate on said appeals. D. A two-third vote of the body is needed to overturn the chair's decision. 9. Severe disturbances such as name-calling, any threats of violence or potential violence, loud screaming, profanity, verbal or nonverbal insults, accusations, etc., will not be tolerated. No warning is necessary. Perpetrator shall be asked to leave the meeting immediately. Any severe occurrence, such as threats of violence or actual violence, shall be dealt with immediately by calling the police and or making a police report. 10. Inflammatory, verbal or nonverbal behavior during a meeting that is clearly an attempt to elicit strong negative reactions shall be understood to be a violation of point 7 above and should be dealt with as in point 6 above.
I really like that, Grace.
A lot of that's out of order.
Sounds really good. I'd like to see it in writing so I could review it again.
Okay.
Paul, could you speak to the points that you think are out of order?
Well, a lot of that is already in Robert's rules, and some of that goes against Robert's, like sustain the chair. The chair just needs a majority. That's in Robert's. Numbers of things in there that I heard are that particular one is against Robert's. And I heard something else. I can't remember it all, but... I mean, some of it is common sense, fine. Some of it is already in Roberts and should be getting enforced of all these things anyway. And at least one, maybe two things are counter Roberts. So.
Mary Berg, can I get on the set?
Bob, can I be on the set?
Mary, Bob, I'd like to say something. Who? Anybody else?
Serene.
Sandra.
Okay, hang on a second. I'm making a sandwich. Can Paul, will you write down this stack? Mary, Bob, Serene, Sandra, Dave.
Okay.
Anybody else? Okay, go ahead. Who's first on that, Mary?
I am. I certainly we need to find out if there's anything that conflicts with Robert. But I really want to include the things, especially the motivation things. If it's in Roberts, we have organizations that or committees, or in our case, we have our unpaid staff organization doesn't go by Roberts, and it's existed now. It predates the use of Roberts. I really hope we will keep those spelled in. People aren't they don't need to go to Roberts. We need this document to have. It may be common sense, but it needs to be in there. I can assure you, I am speaking from, we have some real problems with some very unruly people in some of our meetings, other than LSB and so forth. And even in LSB, I think a code of conduct ought to emphasize those things. So I really would like to find, as I just to summarize, whatever is in contradiction, of course, will need to change. But please let us not take out the things, even if they're in Roberts.
Bob?
I appreciate the thought behind this, and I think there's some good elements in it, but it's very, very hard to absorb over the phone. And so I don't think we should spend our time, our remaining time, getting into reacting to this point six, or, you know, I just think we should give general reactions today and then really try to get this working group up and running, because there's also things that had been talked about at other points to be covered by a code of conduct that aren't included here. Such as the way that board members engage in discussion that affects personnel matters and affects kind of evaluations of staff. And anyway, there's a whole set of other issues that I think could we might consider to be covered by this. And so
that are not there, you say?
That are not included in what was read. But I just want to ask a question about the I missed the language about police report. Can I hear that again?
That was my issue too. Go ahead, Grace, about police.
Yeah, there's two things. First of all, this was a draft. It's not, you know. And the other thing is that another thing asked by Ron Paul. There's on an appeal of the chair's a ruling by the chair. It says that we said a two-thirds vote of the body is needed to overturn the chair's decision. Is that improper by Robert's rule?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Okay, only 50% vote?
I thought you needed...
It's a motion, and the motion is that sustain the chair's ruling? And a positive... All you need is a majority to vote in favor of that, and the chair is upheld.
Okay. Now, in terms of what... Bob was asking, the wording we have here is, any severe occurrences, such as threats of violence or actual violence, shall be dealt with immediately by calling the police and or making a police report.
Okay, can I finish my comment, Dave?
Go ahead.
Okay, I am strongly opposed to any mandate that Pacifica automatically involve police in anything it does. The police have a long and agencies, law enforcement related to them, such as the FBI, have a long history of being bitterly opposed to everything Pacifica stands for. And while there may be situations where that they need to be brought in, I think that needs to be left to the discretion of the people on the ground at the time, and that all other methods should be looked at to exhaust possible remedies before you bring them in. So in any case, this is just one of many things I think it's hard to talk about without having read and thought about this draft. And so I appreciate that Grace wrote it, and it's a good first step to spark the discussion. One last comment quickly is I am nervous about any kind of language that gets beyond clear-cut misconduct that I think would be easy to agree on as far as verbal abuse or threats of violence, and goes into some of the language I heard, which I didn't catch every word of, something about behavior or comments that might have an inflammatory effect. I don't remember the wording, but I'm just saying I think as a general point, we should stay away from things that are going to be utterly impossible to ever agree on whether, you know, was that of that nature or not, as opposed to things that are really clear-cut, that everyone would know that that's abusive and unacceptable conduct. That's it.
Okay. This was a draft. I guess everyone understands that. Now, if I can send it to somebody by email right now and they can forward it to the rest of the members of this committee.
Send it to me, Grace. I'll send it.
D. Adelson at UCLA.edu?
UCLA, right.
Okay. Then.
Who's next, Sandra? Our Paul, are you keeping it?
I was unmuting. This is Sandra.
I have Roberts is next.
Okay.
I thought it was Sandra and then me.
I have Bird, Litterer, Roberts, Rawline, Adelson.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My concerns were around the whole police section, which causes no small amount of alarm, and just the general comments. And I appreciate the fact that you're moving on this because I know it's been discussed for a while, so I appreciate the time that was put into it. But I don't necessarily think that we should spend any more time discussing it this evening, so I don't think we can get it resolved.
Speaking of which, how are we on time, Sandra? Sandra?
We've got five more minutes.
Okay, we have you next on the stack, and then me, and then I guess we're going to wrap up.
I agree with I believe several of the previous speakers. Once again, it's an important issue. I think what's been put out there is a great jumping-off point. It does need to be addressed. However, until I actually can see what's been written and compare it to what's in Robert's rules, et cetera,
I couldn't say yay or nay. I couldn't vote on accepting it at this time. And given the time frame that we've just got a few more minutes, I would suggest that we pass it around to everybody and let everybody look at it and weigh in on it at the next meeting.
Okay. Am I next, Chair Paul? I think I am, so I'll just go ahead. I was very much caught by the police thing, and nothing easier than putting a provocateur in somewhere and getting you to call the cops. It's not a good thing for us. I also agree with Bob. There are other things like, you know, what kinds of things can board members discuss publicly? If there are, for example, staff members who take issue with things management have done, blah, blah, blah. The thing that I'm really concerned with is every PMB meeting I go to, at one time or another, essentially everybody on the board violates Robert's rules in terms of decorum in one way or another, whether speaking without being recognized or any number of other things. And there's this tendency as the issues get more and more overheated and people get upset and it gets more polarized for majorities to... I wouldn't want majorities exercising some of this stuff against people in the minority who did it and then have the experience of people in the majority doing it and then people in the minority complaining that the majority faction is blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I understand the desire to have decorum at these meetings, but I understand the comfort that really categorical language provides a lot of people. But in reality, I think there is a certain amount of constant transgression of those rules. And so if you write it in such a way that there's constant transgression at one level, and then there's enforcement, which is may feel to people to be arbitrary or biased, you really undermine the credibility of the whole enterprise. And I also think that you know, Pacifica is about allowing vehement expressions of dissent, which is different than people being abusive. But it's a very fine line. So I'm hoping that the policy that we come out with isn't things where it says this is absolutely categorical so that you can clearly say that somebody broke it, but then you find lots of people are doing things that cross that line and people are just making elective decisions, because then it becomes a repressive kind of a code of conduct. So those are my main points.
This is great. Can I be on the stack or make a comment?
Yeah, we got a couple minutes left and then we're going to have to move to postpone, or we're going to have to... Well, actually, there's no motion on the floor yet, so go ahead.
Okay, in relation to the response to violence or a severe threat of violence, I believe that if we're in a situation which is a severe situation where, say, someone comes to an LSD meeting with a gun and threatens to shoot people, if we do nothing about it, we're putting ourselves in severe legal liability, to say nothing of possibly being an accessory to an act of violence. And I also agree that we don't want to get the police involved, but there are some situations where you simply have no choice. And just as I would agree that doctors should have to make police reports in the case of pedophilia, I also agree that sometimes a severe action of that nature must be taken.
Mary Bird.
Oh, I think we're at time, Mary.
I'd like to move.
Quick?
What I wanted to do is make a motion that we send this around now for discussion and that we put it on the agenda next time.
Okay. I don't think you need a motion to do that. Why don't you just send it around and it'll be on the motion because it's a working group and it's still unfinished business.
Well, you're going to send out what Grace just sent you? Or...
Yeah.
I'll send it to everybody, yes.
Okay. Could I just ask that anyone, R. Paul or anyone else, that has any specific knowledge, you know, of where it conflicts with Roberts, to send that out so that we aren't all inventing the wheel and digging through the book to try to find if it does or not?
Okay.
That would be appreciated.
Okay. So I think we're at time now, and the next, we'll move the agenda. The next item is the Bylaws Convention Working Group. Lydia? star 6 to unmute, and whoever's asking where are you might want to use star 6 to mute.
Yeah, I had to unmute. Okay, so
Hold on, Lydia. Hold on. Serene, is that you? Well, go ahead, Lydia. Try to speak loudly.
Okay. It's just by way of update for those who are unaware that the bylaws amendment that had the 60 days air notice and was passed by the PMB and so forth did not pass the LSBs for some rather basic reasons, even though it passed with a majority vote, for example, in L.A. and in New York, I believe. But it was not the majority of those present rather than the majority of all on the board, and that was not made clear. I know it wasn't made clear at our meeting. And also that at WPFW, the chair did not call for, or no one called for an LSB meeting in the necessary time frame of 30 days. So so that failed. Now, the essence of the amendment aside, it raises some issues. And locally, I know in L.A., and I relayed this to the bylaws convention meeting as well, is that we are what we think is necessary in terms of the bylaws in relation to any amendment is by that standard, we might never get any amendments or any improvement to the bylaws. Because of the necessity of having not a majority of not just those present, but of all of the members. So therefore, we would like to make clear that you can use a written ballot in relation to amendments. We use them to pass the bylaws. I still have the sample of the form, which included your printed name, your signature, and the date. And it would be a matter of public record, so there could be a public roll call of those results, but at least it would include all of the membership on the board. So that's something that I think it has not been formalized. We have not taken it for a vote to our local LSC and so forth. But I think that that's very, very necessary. And we didn't have very many people on our bylaws convention call, but I didn't hear any objections to that. And the other thing was changing the wording from requiring an LSB to vote within the same calendar month to making it 30 days from the time that it passes the LSB. And it has to be...
You mean the PMB?
It passes the PMB, right. And allowing 30 days for the LSBs to meet and pass that amendment in case the PMB meets late in the month, which it's intending to do. So it would make it literally impossible to ever pass any amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So basically that, I think also we're going to, there doesn't seem to be any movement except, I don't know, maybe Serene would like to speak to this, but here there's less and less will to have a convention in 06, just the time getting by us. It seems less and less feasible. But anyway, so I don't know if Serene wants to speak to
uh-huh.
that.
I'd like to provide information. I think the board voted not to have the bylaws convention in 06.
Oh, okay. So then that's a moot point. So then that raises the issue about this working group, right? Now, excuse me, whereas if that's the case, I don't know that we need a working group then on the bylaws convention if it's not being planned for 06 unless they want to keep it going for 07. But I do see a significant need, especially given the way that everything happened with the bylaws, is that I think there should be a working group from the governance committee. It could be a new working group for bylaws, meaning
yep.
It doesn't decide what the bylaws are. But let's say then it gets the input from the elections committee so that there isn't the duplication of efforts. And more importantly, that a process that we focus on the process involved to get an amendment passed from A to Z and the mechanism to inform the chairs to, et cetera, et cetera. So once you've gone through all of this extraordinary effort, which in our case is having all the stations announced twice a day for 60 days, is to then make sure that there's enough follow-through, that everybody's on the same page and that it actually comes to fruition. As we are now, we're right back where we started, and, you know, there are some things that need to be changed. So that would be a proposal that we can consider at the next meeting. I don't think we need to take up time at this meeting.
Okay. Well, actually, one of the things we could do, I'll recognize you in a second, we could rename the working group the Bylaws Working Group.
Right.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, a few things. One is just a correction on what the board passed regarding the convention. All we did was rescind the vote to mandate that the convention must happen by March 06.
Right.
So now we're in an open realm. In other words, it didn't say it cannot happen any time in 2006. It said we're no longer requiring it. So, you know,
right,
the board could decide to have it later in 06. So that's just on that point. I think Lydia's suggestions are good overall, and I think that this new renamed working group should work on these immediate, what I would consider fairly technical fixes, and try to push them through quickly so that they don't cause further problems down the road. But also to look at something that I think there's a fair amount of sentiment for the general idea. We just have to flesh it out and of course, work with the Elections Committee to get their input on a new calendar for elections starting in 07. And, you know, a lot of people have talked about having them in the spring where they don't conflict with the fall, you know, governmental elections. But the reason to push that now is that that would have to be voted on by the membership. And so rather than have a highly expensive separate referendum, we should try to get that approved in time so it can go on the ballot in October of 06. And just be, you know, along with the candidate elections, there'd also be the vote on whether that new timetable, you know, passes muster with the membership. So that would be my suggestion.
Well,
my apologies.
Well, can we take a vote? Can we take a vote on the renaming just so that it's clear?
I don't think it needs to vote, does it?
Yeah, let's
does
do.
Somebody
let's
want
do.
To make
a vote, or
to...
just does anyone object? I mean,
there's... okay. Is there any objection to renaming the Bylaws Working Group, the Bylaws, Bylaws Convention Working Group, the Bylaws Working Group?
Well, I just have one.
Am I still on mute?
No.
No.
Sorry,
okay,
Bob.
We've reached time on this. I was just wanting to advise everybody of that.
Okay, Bob, why don't you make your comments, and then we're going to close it up.
Okay. Well, what I was about to say was that I do think this working group should look at the question of when there should be a convention. So I don't care. The name can change. That's fine. But
right. It's not precluded by changing it.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. And thank you for the correction. What we did was rescind that original motion. Who is speaking?
Dave, this is Sarv. I'm sorry. I will not be able to attend this call. I have something urgent for me to come up.
Okay. Okay, thanks for
thanks
for letting us know.
Sure, thanks, Dave.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye. All right, so without objection, we'll the name to the Bylaws Working Group.
Great.
And Lydia, I just want to go on record for any Elections Committee members that are listening. Lydia did note that they would be in contact with that group on any bylaws issues regarding elections. Next item on the agenda is...
that's correct.
Is new business, and we agreed that the first item would be the status of the DiRienzo suspension. Who would like to speak to that?
Well, this is Bob.
Yep.
One fact I can tell everyone, I don't quite know exactly how the issue was raised, but I can tell you this, is that in the notice that our chair sent notifying us that there's a delegates meeting on Tuesday to elect a new director to replace Michael Tarif Warren, who resigned, it was CC'd to Paul DiRienzo. So that suggests to me that he is being invited to participate.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, my understanding is the LSB and the delegates meetings, they have to be noticed separately, and as far as I understand, there was never a delegates meeting held at which DiRienzo was suspended as a delegate.
I got to say something about that. One, he wasn't even notified of the last delegates meeting. Two, we had some election or another for something on the PNB, and he was specifically excluded from voting, even though he was at that meeting. I made a point of order about that, and that ended up in the minutes. I think the so-called suspension was illegal in the first place, and certainly you know, telling somebody who's been elected by all those people that 11 or 12 other people can say, you're not even a delegate anymore, just doesn't work. I mean, there's a mechanism for making somebody not there anymore, for expelling somebody, and it wasn't even used. It was just a little end run around somebody's rights. So I think DiRienzo should not only be allowed to vote as a delegate, which he was elected to be, but also I think this so-called suspension of him as an LSB member, which he's now in the 10th month of a six-month suspension, I think that should be declared illegal anyway.
Point of information.
Well, before you do that, hang on. Is that a motion, Barpal? Are you moving that, or are you not? We're not doing that right now.
We can. You want a motion? I'll make a motion. Let's see.
I'll tell you what. Let me take the point of information, and I'll come back to you. Serene?
Yeah, I'm just running this alleged incident where we had a vote for something on the PNB. Could you remind me what that was?
Yeah, that was several. Let's see. That was, I think that was around like April or May, somewhere in there. It was in the
with
spring.
With regard to what?
Say again?
With regard to what?
There was some election that we had to have that related to the PNB, and we had it in the meeting, and paper ballots were handed out, and DiRienzo was refused a ballot, and I made a point of order about it. In fact, we might have even had it at the meeting where the illegal suspension of him was brought up. So,
what you allege to be an illegal suspension.
What I say is illegal. Yeah, I say it's illegal. You can say
okay, can we
want,
not, can we not, wait, I'd like to not refight it. There was a suspension. The suspension was in force. It was a six-month suspension, et cetera. Let's not fight about whether it was or wasn't illegal. We ate up enough committee time on that in the past. Let's stick to the point of, it sounds to me, Serene, like he doesn't know what the vote was, and I take the point that there's been no definition of it.
All right, I will point out this then, which nobody can really dispute. We had a delegates meeting on November 22nd. The member in question was not informed of it.
Okay.
What date was this?
November 22nd. We had a delegates meeting, you remember?
No, we had a board meeting, and none of your faction bothered to attend.
November 22nd? I think
yes,
you need to remember what November and October are different months.
Hold on. I'd like to ask, since this gets hot, if you guys can let me recognize you before you speak so it doesn't blow up. Serene, what did you say?
Yeah, you know, I think that if he's going to allege that we had meetings and we discussed certain things, that he should either have his facts, you know, at the ready when he makes his charges or not.
Okay.
I would like to point out that on November 22nd, we had a delegates meeting and an LSB meeting, and the delegates meeting was about the bylaws amendment, and the member in question was not informed of it. He then complained about that afterwards. So, although I cannot remember precisely what we voted on in the spring, 7 months ago or so, I can remember that less than 1 month ago, this person was excluded from a delegates meeting.
I'd like to point out that we gave 15 minutes to this item, and we can argue about what happened in the past, but I think for this discussion to be useful, we should talk about what's about to happen. Bob's indicated that Paul has been notified of the upcoming delegates meeting and is assuming that he will be allowed to vote. There's a question of whether the Governance Committee or PNB needs to say anything about that, and our Paul had an interest in making a motion. Do you have a motion?
I guess we really shouldn't be using the person's name, but I guess we have to. We have no choice here. Paul DiRienzo is an elected delegate, and he has the right to vote, right to attend delegates meetings, speak at them, and vote at them. Okay, that's pretty specific. Paul DiRienzo is an elected, the motion would be, Paul DiRienzo is an elected delegate, and he has the right to attend delegates' meetings, speak at them, and vote at them.
I'd just like to comment, my own preference, rather than it being about Paul DiRienzo, is to note that suspensions by LSBs, of LSB members in LSB meetings do not apply to their role as delegates.
So you'd like to have it as a substitute?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's important to point out they're separate bodies, they have separate meetings, and a meeting to suspend an LSB member does not apply to a delegate. That answers the question of whether or not he's been suspended as a delegate.
Dave, could you put me on the set?
Could you say that again?
The suspensions of LSB members by their LSBs do not apply to their status as delegates. Suspensions of delegates would need to happen at meeting of the delegates. Okay, Lydia. I'll make that as a substitute motion right now.
Okay,
Lydia,
I have
ahead.
A question, but first of all, is he back on the LSB? Isn't it been more than 6 months?
I'd like to ask Bob to respond, or Serene. Bob, why don't you respond to that?
Okay, yes. The motion that that the board adopted in March to suspend him included a provision that, and I'm reading, I did find it here, actually. Before Paul DiRienzo is allowed to return to the LSB, he must apologize in writing to the LSB for his racist, sexist, anti-Semitic, and personal attacks and pledge to conduct himself in an orderly manner in future meetings. That's the motion text, and that has not happened yet, and that's why he has not been reinstated onto the board.
But is there recognition that he was not put on suspension by delegates?
No, that's a separate issue. I'm talking about the LSB.
Right. I know. I'm asking two questions.
As I said,
one you just answered.
Yeah, the chair is clearly acknowledged by inviting him to this meeting that he's a delegate who has the right to vote as a delegate. That's, you know.
Okay, so he can attend the meeting populated by the LSB.
The delegate meeting.
Right.
Not
the delegate. I realize that
right. That's
the technicality, but the whole point was. That at the time there was no action taken to expel him as a delegate.
That's correct.
To suspend him, rather, as a delegate.
Right.
Okay, how much time do we have, Sandra?
Put me on a stack here.
I will.
We have
Sandra?
5 minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay, and go ahead, Paul, and then we need a motion to extend, or we need to start disposing of the motion to come in under time.
I'd argue in favor of my motion instead of a substitute because these suspensions are illegal in the first place. We can go into it very rapidly to say, hey, there are things which are allowed by the LSB and they're in the bylaws. The LSB is a committee of the PNB, and committees can't determine their own memberships except by what the bylaws say or if the other body says so. Now, the thing is, the whole suspension was a travesty in the first place. We've had some of the people voting to suspend this member who have been physically violent at meetings.
Paul, I'm going to ask you, Paul. We've had this discussion, and
you know what?
I happen to agree with you, some of your points, but the prevailing side and the vote of the PNB did not hold this, and I'd like to not re-argue that. So
I think it needs
can you
to
keep
be
your comments
out.
To the motion before us now?
Chair, could I please go on here? I think I've got some time, and you've let other people have their latitude to say whatever they please, and I really don't feel like giving in to a tyranny of a majority right now. So I'm going to say what I want.
Okay.
Look, the deal is the Pacifica Foundation is doing something dirty with this. This is filthy, and I think that we shouldn't be doing this at all. So I don't want to acknowledge suspensions of LSB members, especially when you have a thing of where his apology can never satisfy this group. It will. He could apologize all he pleases. He already has, by the way, and it's never going to satisfy them. So I think that we should simply include the, we should not pass a substitute motion, which we should pass the original motion that says he is a delegate and he has the right to attend, speak at, and vote at the delegates' meeting. That's that.
I'm willing to withdraw my motion if others feel that, you know, it would be more effective to do it this way. But why don't we just move to a vote now, since we're at time, unless there's a motion to extend
time. I'm sorry, can I be heard?
If there's a motion to extend time, we can have further discussion. If not, we need to dispose of the question.
I move to extend by 5 minutes.
Is there any objection to extending by 5 minutes?
Objection.
Okay, can you call the roll out, Paul?
Okay.
On the motion to extend?
Had a failure. Okay, 1 second while I bring that file up manually.
Am I on mute?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay. I lose track.
All right. Pardon me. I'm plugging this in here so that we can follow it. Okay. Grace Aaron?
Abstain.
This is on extension.
Extending.
Extending by 5 minutes.
Extension by 5 minutes is a motion. Dave Adelson?
Abstain.
Mary Berg?
Yes.
Max Blanchet? Lydia Brazon?
Okay.
Huh?
Reluctantly, yes.
Marty Derlin, Jane Gatewood, Bob Lepper.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, no. Sarv Randhawa. Sandra Rawline.
No, I do not wish to extend this any further.
Doreen Roberts.
Yes.
Rob Robinson. Deb Shafto.
Yeah, I can't hear you.
Deb Shafto?
I've been jumped so many times, I don't know where the conversation is.
This is a motion to extend by 5 minutes the question of the DiRienzo suspension.
Deb Shafto?
Oops.
We have a technical problem, I'll skip. Hakim Takash? He left. Ted Weisgall?
No.
No. Okay, Deb Shafto, are you there? Okay, I don't hear Deb Shafto, so I can't count and vote. All right. In favor, 1, 2, 3, 4. Against, 1, 2, 3. Requires a two-thirds.
Okay, so we're going to move to the vote. First, on the substitute, can you call the roll? This is the motion to substitute the language that any suspension by an LSB at an LSB meeting does not apply to delegates.
Okay. Let me identify.
And can you read actually the way you have it written?
Yeah.
Paul?
Get to that in 1 second. Okay, what I have as a substitute motion is suspensions of LSB members by their LSBs do not apply to their status as delegates. Suspensions of delegates would need to happen at meetings of the delegates.
Okay. All those, so call the roll on the motion to substitute that language for the original main motion.
Okay. Grace Aaron?
No.
Dave Adelson?
I'll abstain.
Mary Berg?
Yes.
Max Blanchet, Lydia Brazon?
No.
Marty Derlin, Jane Gatewood, Bob Lederer?
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, no. Sarv Randhawa? Sandra Rawline?
Yes, I vote for the substitute motion.
Doreen Roberts?
Yes.
Rob Robinson? Deb Shafto? Hakim Takash? Ted Weisgold?
Yes.
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 5 yes, 3 no, 1 abstention.
Okay, so the substitute passes. So now the vote on the substituted main motion.
Yes, 1 second. Okay, so the substituted main motion is exactly what we just did.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to do another?
Yeah, because there probably is at least one objection, so just call the roll.
Okay, going to it again.
Excuse me, I have a question.
Yeah?
Okay. I'm sorry, because I had to get off the phone for a second. So the substitute passed in lieu of the original of our Paul's motion?
Mm-hmm. We just substituted that language for the original main motion. Now we're taking a vote to see how many approve of the substituted main motion.
Okay. Ray Sarin?
No.
David Adelson?
Yes.
Mary Berg?
Yes.
Max Blanchet? Lydia Brazon?
Abstain.
Abstain? Okay. Marty Derlin? Jane Gatewood? Bob Lederer?
Yes.
R. Paul Martin? Abstain. Darv Rundawa? Sandra Rolline?
Yes, I support the motion.
Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Rob Robinson? Deb Shafto? I didn't hear anything from Deb Shafto. Hakim Takash, Ted Weisgold.
Yes.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4.
I voted no when I meant yes. This is Grace Aaron.
Grace Aaron.
You made Grace Aaron changes her vote to yes.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7-4, no against, and 2 abstentions.
Okay, the motion carries. The next item on the agenda is the Freeland suspension, I believe.
Yeah.
I know there are different positions on this, so I'd like to ask that to open it, we first hear from Ted and then hear from Sandra and then from Deb if she gets back on. And then what I'd like to ask is that we'll consider motions as they come up and substitutes. But, Ted, why don't you start?
Ken Freeland was suspended from the KPFT local station board without any cause enunciated at a meeting about 4 months ago. 6 months ago. His suspension has subsequently ended, and he is now back on the local station board, but a number of actions that occurred during that time period that he would like to have been able to weigh in on, and I concur, he was denied that right. He was denied the right to run for the Pacifica National Board, the net result being that there was no full, fair, and free dissemination of discussion on the issues, and therefore the governance committee should overturn the ruling of the local station board. I think that, in essence, summarizes it, and I would like for Deb or Sandra to weigh in since they represented the opposing point of view.
Just so I'm clear, was there a motion there, or are we just continuing with the presentation of the issues?
Well, who should overturn, excuse me, point of information, who should overturn the ruling of the LSB, the Governance Committee or the PNB?
The Governance Committee has no authority.
That's what I thought.
Would be a motion to the PNB.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Sandra, why don't you go ahead?
I would oppose the Governance Committee making a motion to the PMB to rule on this. What's done is done. I believe that Ken Freeland was given fair notification. We had an executive session. There was a vote to remove him entirely that did not pass, and then there was the vote to suspend him, and that did pass. the fact that he was not able to participate, he still did participate in many ways. He came to meetings with a gag on his mouth where he whispered instructions to fellow LSV members to support his points and raise his objections. I have tried very hard not to take anything into account on this personally, but it does bother me that a member of our local LSV would willingly and knowingly violate confidentiality as far as personnel matters are concerned, and would also encourage people at an LSV or at a KPFT fundraising function to pass out flyers and encourage people to boycott supporting the Pacifica network, all because he does not agree with changes or decisions made by the local management.